John chapter 17. Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to his disciples on sending them out into the world. Listen to what he had to say. John chapter 17, beginning at verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. That's God's word to God's people in God's time, especially for this time in which we are living. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, speak to our hearts through your word in a powerful way, and then send us out of this place with a new sense of direction and purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week we looked at life's three greatest questions. The question of existence, why am I alive? The question of significance, does my life matter? And the question of intention, what is my purpose? This morning I want to take that last question a step further and say to all of us that we were made for a mission. We are the benefactors of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It was his death that made it possible for you and me to be set free. Because of what Jesus did, we also have a responsibility to help others know and experience freedom spiritually. God has commissioned us with the responsibility of sharing the good news with others. I'm going to ask you something. Do you realize that this is the only purpose you can only do here on earth? We are going to do four things forever and ever in heaven. And God wants us to practice those things down here on earth. We practice them. First one is worship. Worshiping as we give glory to Almighty God and come to hear a word from Him, to get to know Him better and to love Him more. This is what worship should do. Cause us to worship and love Him more and more. We'll do that in heaven. But secondly, it's fellowship. And in fellowship, we're going to have fellowship in heaven. So had we not better learn to fellowship with one another while we're down here? That's what we need to do. That's going to be done in heaven too, to learn to love each other more and more down here, because that's what we're going to be doing for all eternity. And third is discipleship. Discipleship is where we learn to become more like Christ. That's a goal, isn't it? To be conformed to the image of Christ. And then discipleship is a part of that process while we're here on earth. The fourth was service. To learn to use our witness, our lifestyle as a believer, and our abilities to serve God while we're down here. But you see, that fifth purpose is the only one that can be done here on earth. That is the mission to which God has called you and me to. When we get to heaven, to be over with. So we need to be about God's work while we are down here. John 17:18 declares, in the words of our Lord, as you have sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. You see, our ministry is to believers, but our mission is to the world, to unbelievers. That's what we're to be about. I think sometimes churches, and we as a church, have forgotten what our mission really is. Yes, we minister to one another, and I thank the Lord that you do that. But our mission is to the world, and we dare not neglect that mission. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you in John 20:21. But what are we being sent to do? What is our mission? The Apostle Paul, writing in Acts 20:24, tells us what it is. There he says, the most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell people the good news about God's grace. So the Lord has sent you and me on a mission. That mission is to share the gospel. This is called evangelism. I realize that people get nervous and defensive when the term evangelism is used. Years ago, I heard a preacher talking about evangelism and soul winning. He said, simply, evangelism and soul winning is simply this. It is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's exactly what it's all about. We're talking about sharing the bread of life, sharing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ with anyone we come into contact with. That's what our mission is as a people of Almighty God. Evangelism is just the Greek word for good news. We have good news to share, and we dare not keep it to ourselves. The Bible says that once I know the good news, that God loves me, that He has a purpose and a plan for my life, and all the other things that He has talked about in my life, God wants us to pass it on. He wants us to share the good news of God's grace and mercy and love and His power and His provision and His full and meaningful life with others all around us. God wants me to pass it on, sharing it with others. Michael Gott said this, an evangelist is a nobody who is seeking to tell everybody about somebody who can help change anybody. And we know that somebody he is talking about is Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And oh, how we need to be sharing Jesus with others. Where are we supposed to share it? We must share it with those in our world where we are. Acts 1:8, we are familiar with it. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me where? Both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world, of the earth. We begin at home. Listen, Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, when you go out the doors of this church today, this is your Jerusalem. To share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is where we begin. Right here. Think about it. There was a man that Jesus healed, and he wanted to travel with the Lord Jesus. But Jesus said to him, no, I don't want you to do that. In Luke chapter 8, verses 19, Jesus gave him the following instructions. He said this, go back home and tell people how much God has done for you. So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. Folks, that's what we're to be about right here in this community. We're to be telling people, listen, there are lost people on Mount Pisgah Road. There are lost people on Turnpike. There are lost people out on 17. There are lost people. How many lost people in a 3 or 4 mile radius of this church? How many unchurched people are there? I guarantee you, there's a whole lot more than what's in here this morning. People all around us. And we dare not let the fact that we have a humongous debt hinder us and stand in the way of us being what God has called us to be and do what God has called us to do, that's sharing the good news. You see, who we are as a people of God is more than this building. It's about people. People who need the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to be about doing that. Jesus is saying what He said to His disciples. He's saying to you and me, our mission starts right at home, in our own neighborhood, in our own community. It says this man went all over town. That's what God wants you and me to do. He wants us to go to our friends, our family, our co-workers, our neighbors, anybody who crosses our path. Could be the person who delivers our paper, the person behind the counter at the fast food restaurant, or a clerk or a waitress somewhere. God says, I want you to share the good news with the people first in your Jerusalem, with the people in your home. Why don't we do this? What's holding us back? I think one reason is that we mistakenly believe that people are not interested in spiritual issues, but nothing could be further from the truth. Every single poll recently done, every recent survey says Americans are more interested in spiritual things now than they were 10 years ago. I know it doesn't show up in attendance in our churches. There are at least, I don't know, somewhere upwards of 100, 120, 130, 150 million people who are unchurched in America today. No church home. But do you realize that over half of them said they would attend if somebody would just invite them? Another Gallup poll said that teenagers would rather talk about God than sex, drugs, or music. They're interested in talking about God, and boy, they need to be. They are being fed a lot of garbage from the garbage pails of this world, even in our schools, in our universities today, leading them astray. I was dismayed to see what's going on with the climate protest going on. And a lot of things they said were totally wrong, totally untrue and ignorant. Why? Because they had been fed that by adults who ought to know better, who have failed themselves to study what science really says about climate change. But you see, the underlying thing they don't realize is this. Behind that so-called protest is an agenda called socialism. They're totally against our way of life as Americans and as Christians. That's what's going on. And we better wake our young people up and tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. Opportunities for sharing God are all around us. We simply need to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and be ready and willing to share. That means we must do some preparation. Folks, that's available. I've taught several witnessing classes here. I'll be glad to teach some of those same classes again to teach us how to prepare and share your testimony. We have discipleship group, discipleship training that's going on now. But the bottom line that should be to better equip all of us to share the good news of God's love, to give your testimony. But I'm all too afraid that the late Paul Harvey was all too right when he made the observation that we've drifted away from being fishers of men to being keepers of the aquarium. We need to take care of this facility. I understand that. We want to retain this facility. I understand that. But none of that is as important as people who need Jesus Christ. People need the gospel. People need God's love. We need to understand that God wants to use us. There are thousands of creative ways that we can be a witness, saying, this is what God did for me in my life. What God has did for me, He'll do for anyone else. He'll save anybody. I appreciate the fact that Ralph Trowbridge gave so many of his tapes away. He said, it's a ministry, and you've given them away. Who knows how those have been used? But don't give up. Don't lose heart. They will bear fruit one day. And we need to be creative in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I realize that today people don't like a tract a lot of time to be handed to them. But look, some teenagers a few years ago did something quite unique to get tracts out to people. These teenagers were so on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, they would go to a fast food restaurant or to a public restroom. They would go in the restroom and roll off the toilet paper. And then they would roll it back up a little ways and put a track in, roll it a little ways more and put a track in, roll it a little ways more and put another track in. Can you imagine the surprise on a person's face when they unrolled that toilet paper and the track dropped out? What a unique thing to do, to try to get people to see the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can be saved. There are some books that I have. I still have a few left. And I encourage you to, when you witness to a person, take that book and give it to them, a little thin book about Jesus, about who He really is, the I Am book. I don't have but about a half a dozen left, but they need to be given out to somebody that we witness to. But the bottom line is this: we need to be at God's disposal. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. God wants to use us. The question is, what kind of witness are we? Are we willing to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ when an opportunity arises? Are we ready? We must recapture, I believe, the scope of God's love in order to be the witness God wants us to be. 2 Peter 3:9 says this: God does not want anyone to be lost, but He wants all people to change their hearts and lives. God's not willing that any should perish. As long as there is one person on earth who doesn't know the good news, God says we've got to keep reaching out to them so that they won't be lost. Do you know how much God cares about your neighbors, your co-workers? Very simple. Look at that cross. That's a pretty good-looking cross, but I want to remind you of something. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't that attractive. It was a rugged cross, hewn out of rugged wood. He was nailed to that cross through here and here, and his feet were crossed and they were nailed through his feet. After he had been beaten beyond recognition with a crown of thorns crushed upon his brow. And even on that cross, as his life blood and fluid was flowing out of him, his life draining out of him, what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is how much God loves people. He suffered naked on a cross, mocked on a cross for you and me. Shed his blood that we might have forgiveness of sin and be set eternally free from the clutches of sin and a devil's hell. As long as there's one person on earth, we need to share. And people are hurting. People are in trouble. People have so many needs. On Monday, August 9th, 1993, 31-year-old woman, Sophia Madras White, burst into the hospital nursery at University of Southern California Medical Center in Los Angeles, wielding a .38 caliber handgun. She had come gunning for Elizabeth Statton, a nurse whom she accused of stealing her husband. White fired 6 shots, hitting Statton in the wrist and stomach. Statton fled, and White chased her into the emergency room, firing once more. There, with blood on her clothes and a hot pistol in her hand, the attacker was met by another nurse, Joan Black, who did the absolutely unthinkable. Black spoke comfort, calmly walked up to the gun-toting woman and hugged her and began to speak comforting words to her. The assailant said she didn't have anything to live for, that Statton had stolen her family. You're in pain, Black said. I'm sorry, but everybody has pain in their life. I understand, and we can work it out. As they talked, the hospital invader kept her finger on the trigger. Once she began to lift the gun as though she would shoot herself, but Nurse Black pushed her arm down and continued to hold her. At last, Sophia White gave the gun to the nurse. She was disarmed by a hug, by understanding, by compassion. Black later told an Associated reporter, I saw a sick person and had to take care of her. Listen, Jesus Christ looked at you and me in a similar fashion, as people sick with sin, broken inside, and in need of his care. And it is in his embrace that disarms us and embraces us in his love and heals us and forgives us. And folks out there in the world need that same kind of love, that same kind of compassion, because they're broken and lost without Jesus. God wants us to be his arms of love down here, to reach out to those without Jesus Christ. If you want God's legacy and God's blessings on your life, you must care about what God cares about most. People. People. So we must share with those in our world. But listen, that's not enough. We must dare to reach beyond our world. In northeastern North Carolina, there's the Herbert C. Bonner Bridge that spans the Oregon Inlet for 2.8 miles. I think it cost somewhere around $246 million to build, to span that vast expanse of water to connect with the little island on the other side so people could have access to the mainland. We can do something far more important than building that land bridge. We must build a bridge of love to others. We must dare to reach beyond our own world. Love demands that we move beyond our comfort zone to people with different backgrounds, different education, different language, different economics. Our mission has such eternal consequences. What are those consequences? Heaven or hell? Only two classes of people in the world, lost and saved. Only two destinies, heaven and hell. Which direction are people headed in? There's only two. And I'm afraid all too many are headed in the wrong direction. Straight is the gate, and straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, says the Lord, and few there be that find it, and broad is the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Hell is being continually filled up because people haven't heard about and responded to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mission has eternal consequences, such eternal consequences. We must be willing to risk anything to get the message out. 10 years ago, you may remember the news. Larry and Jean Elliott had left Honduras. They had been serving there with the International Mission Board and went to Iraq. While they were in Iraq, Larry and Jean, along with two other missionaries, lost their lives. Larry and Jean were members of Temple Baptist in Reidsville, North Carolina. And they had been staying when they came home on furlough at First Baptist Church Mission House in Cary, North Carolina. They were buried at Grassy Branch Baptist Church in the edge of Virginia, North Carolina line, in the Bonner community. The Elliots gave their life in Iraq. They understood the risk. When Jerry Rankin preached their memorial service at First Baptist Church in Cary, he said they understood the risk, but he said they understood this, that the greater risk was not giving those people an opportunity to hear the good news. They were willing to sacrifice their lives that people may hear the good news of God's love. Several of our missionaries have had to leave China recently because of the risks that are over there. They've been run out. Some are still there. But there are Christians there who are putting their lives on the line every day. I told you a minute ago, pray for the people over there at Samuel Lamb's church. Peg and I had been to that church in China. They've been dispersed now to house churches because of their faith. What will it take to wake us up here in America? We take our freedom so for granted. What if someone came up with a cure for cancer? It would be shouted from the housetops all across the land, all across our world. But we have something even more important. We have the way of eternal life. We have the remedy for sin and for those who are enslaved to sin and who have no real meaning and purpose in life. We have the good news of God's love as revealed in Jesus Christ. We have a hope of eternal home in heaven and deliverance from a place called hell. Think about it. You and I are saved today because somebody cared enough to tell us. We've got to be caring enough to tell others about Jesus. Are we willing to tell? Are we willing to share? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 9:22. Whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him so that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. You see, God expects you and me to make the first move. Over and over again, God says it in one word, go. I want you to go. You can't even spell God without go. You can't spell good news without go. You can't spell gospel without go. We have to go. We haven't been going very much in Mount Pisgah in the last couple of years. We need to go to these communities, the houses around us, and share the good news of God's love. We must dare to reach beyond our world, reach out to this county. This is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, in the state of North Carolina. People moving in. We need to be ready to share the love of Jesus Christ. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law, the Bible tells us in Galatians 6:2. What is Christ's law? Love your neighbor as yourself. Listen, you don't have to leave Brunswick County or North Carolina to do it. All we need to do is go outside of ourselves. Use every opportunity we have. I must confess, I have a long ways to go. I haven't used every opportunity I have had to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I dare say none of us have. We can do a better job of sharing the love of Jesus. But we have to be real in our religious expression. The Bible says in James 1:27, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight. Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, he was commending them when he said, I was hungry, and you gave me food, thirsty, and you gave me drink, naked, and you gave me clothes, sick, and you came to me, and in prison, and you visited me. And they said, Lord, when we do this, he said, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Ministry, mission, sharing the Lord Jesus Christ, being real in who we are. Thankful for the benevolent ministry of this church and the backpack ministry and the crisis ministries and people who go mow yards and make simple repairs and help people and use that occasion to say a good word about Jesus. I think it's simple things we can do. I think about what Buford and Raj and others, all of you do, and Gary and all of them, things that you can do. Practical things that's a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Something like Jerry Whitfield does, fixing these little keychain things with a cross on it. Every time he gives one to somebody, he says, every time you hang your keychain up, that cross will remind you that God loves you. Simple but a powerful tool. We can do anything like that. Many ways to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, to remind them of the love of God. This is what Christianity is all about. It's healing broken, messed up lives, healing hurts, and helping people. It's love. But I want to shoot straight with you. If you get involved, it's going to cost. It will break you out of self-centeredness and comfortable things. It's going to cost you time and energy and effort and money. It may even cost your privacy sometimes, but God has promised eternal rewards. Mark 10:29 says this in the words of our Lord, let me assure you that no one has ever given up anything for love of me and to tell others the good news who won't be given back 100 times over. You talk about a return on your investment. There it is. Better than anything this world has to offer. Are you laying up treasures in heaven? You talk about a return. God says, whatever you do for me is not in vain, but it is not enough. Listen, it's not enough just to share with those in my world. It's not enough just to reach out a little bit beyond my world. If I'm going to be like Jesus Christ, we must care about the whole world. The whole world. We need to broaden our scope and our vision. It's going to take a whole new level of spiritual maturity. Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. We need to see Mount Pisgah Baptist Church as a world mission strategy center. I'm seeing that beginning to take place in a wonderful way, and I thank the Lord for it. With the missionaries, Turners, who are coming to the mission house, you were so faithful in preparing the mission house and been so patient in waiting so long, but it's been used this summer several different times in wonderful ways as a ministry and a mission here. And now we've got international board missionaries from Botswana coming to stay here in January. We need to welcome them and pray that God will use them in a tremendous way to touch people while they're here in this community, to touch us and challenge us. You're a Christian. Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. We're not fishing, we're not following. He said to his followers, go everywhere, because everybody deserves to hear the good news. This church has sent mission volunteers and staff members in the past on foreign mission trips, but you continue to participate in missions through the cooperative program, through giving to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering for North American missions, to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions, to the North Carolina Missions Office, and other offerings that are taken. In practical ways, sharing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to be committed to our calling. Mark 8:35 says, if you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. What a privilege it is to be just a single little part of the great commission that God has given to you and me. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Think about it. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? When you get to heaven, is anybody going to say, thank you, thank you, thank you for telling me the good news? You knew it and you didn't keep it a secret. You passed it on. You realize that in the next 12 months, that over 2.5 million people will die in the United States, over 54 million people in the world, and most of them will go into eternity without Jesus Christ? Does that bother you? A few years ago, a family was traveling home one night. They came upon a horrific accident. Red lights and blue lights were flashing. People were scurrying around, and there was obviously a death because a tarp had covered up an individual, and a little girl in the car asked her mama, said, "Mama, what's going on? What has happened?" And she said, "Honey, it's been a bad accident, and looks like somebody lost their life." She said, "But, you know," took her in her arms, says, you just be quiet and go to sleep." The little daughter looked at her mama and says, "Mama, can we sleep when people die?" There's a spiritual application to that. Can we sit around, sleep on our laurels, when people all around us are dying and going to hell every day? Or are we going to be a witness that God has called us to be as a people of God? If we care, folks, we must share. Acts 13:36 in today's English version says this: David served God's purpose in his own time. I want to ask you something. What is more important than that? What is more important than doing what God put us here on earth to do? I hope that people will say about me that I serve God's purpose in my generation. And I want them to say that about you and about this church. 257 years? Are we going to let that tremendous heritage pass into nothingness without continuing it? Will the people who follow you and me say that they were faithful? And because of their faithfulness, we still have a church here and we have an impact on this community today? What will they say about us? You wonder whether or not you've completed your mission or not? Here's a test to tell you if you've completed your mission. Are you still alive? Are you still breathing? If you're still alive, your mission is not completed. You have four possible responses to what God is calling you to do. You can say like Moses, "Who, me?" Or you can say like Jonah, "Not me." Or you can say like Habakkuk, "Why me?" Or you can say like Isaiah, "Send me. Send me." The question is, are you willing to go? Do you have the courage to say, "God, use my life"? Challenge us, all of us, to say it, to do it, and then watch what happens. It's been said time and time again, little becomes much when you put it in the hands of the Master. The question is, are you willing to put your life in His hands? It could be somebody here who's being called to a special ministry. And God is saying, "I want you to go for me." Are you willing to go? Are you willing to, for your children to go and be used by the Lord in full-time Christian ministry? What about it, Mount Pisgah? We need to be praying for God to call young people to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in ministry out of this congregation. I think about Devon and Lonnie. Those are two that I know. Devon served with me on staff. Now he's pastor of Kinley Baptist Church. And Peg and I visited there a few weeks ago on vacation. And God's using him and Jenny in a great way. Barely found a parking place. Boy, I'd like to have that problem here at Mount Pisgah. But we need to be praying that God would raise up pastors and missionaries and staff people from this congregation. But we need to be praying that God would use us to reach this community, to share the love of Jesus Christ with those who are lost and unchurched all around us. Doesn't make any difference their background. They may not be like you, look like you and me. May not be the same education level, may not be the same economic level. That doesn't make any difference to God. If they need Jesus, they just need Jesus. God loves them. And we need to be willing to share His love with them. What are you willing to do? What is God calling you to do? Maybe some of you are faithful in sharing the Lord Jesus. And an individual told me the other day, he said, "Since I've been in this church, I've invited more people in the last 2 years to come to this church than I've ever invited in my life." And he said, "But I don't see people coming." What's going on? Are we praying the way we ought to pray? Are we witnessing the way we ought to witness? Do we come expecting God to do anything when we come on Sunday morning? Are we willing for God to use us? Don't look at somebody else. You see, it's between you and God, me and God. It's an individual decision. Are we ready to be used? If you are, I would invite you to come to the altar and pray about what God would have you to do. If you're here today and you need Jesus, I'll be glad to share with you the plan of salvation. But we need to be active and on the mission that God has called us to. We were made for a mission. Our ministry is to one another, but our mission is to the world. Are you ready to go on that mission? As we stand and sing Hymn 280, Redeemed, would you come? Would you come as we stand and sing?
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever.